Welcome to this Walnut Wednesday edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to our special Walnut Wednesday report, we'll bring you a look at national and regional agricultural news here on the show today. And I'll start things off with a look at regional agricultural news right after this.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, delivering value to growers and handlers with advocacy, research programs, and walnut promotions. Doing more together.
In comments submitted to the California Air Resources Board on potential changes to the state's low carbon fuel standard, the Renewable Fuels Association identified several areas in CARB's proposal and underlying analysis that need improvement. RFA also stressed its support for the LCFS program and desire to see technology neutral carbon reduction programs adopted in other states or at the national level. RFA Chief Economist Scott Richmond stressed three areas where improvement is needed. CARB has all the data needed to support the immediate approval of E15 for use in California, which would reduce pervasive compliance defects in California's gasoline pool. Migrating all E10 to E15 in California today would result in approximately 2 million metric tons annually of additional GHG reductions. Although the California transportation supply model used by CARB incorporates the average carbon intensity of ethanol in the market today and assumes that CI improvements will continue in the future, it assumes that the CI of ethanol produced at facilities using carbon capture and sequestration will be flat over time. Richmond stressed that on the contrary, it is reasonable to expect substantial reductions in the CI of ethanol broadly, and that ethanol with CCS in particular is likely to achieve steady reduction and ultimately net zero emissions over the next two decades. Finally, the current low credit prices under the LCFS are clearly inhibiting new investment in low carbon fuel production. The long period of time, up to 3 years, to update the LCFS, given a regulatory process in California, is creating uncertainty as to the longer term trajectory of the program and the incorporation of a compliance acceleration mechanism into the LCFS that could potentially address this problem. An accurate modeling of ethanol's benefits and integration of CARB fuels policy to incentivize higher ethanol blends will result in immediate reductions of GHG emissions and criteria pollutants while lowering the cost of compliance to obligated parties and California consumers, according to Richmond. And he says RFA looks forward to working with CARB staff and other stakeholders to strengthen and extend the successful LCFS program. Supplies of onions continue to be plentiful as storage crop volume continues to be available while new growing regions are coming on as well. On storage crop onions, the market is holding steady but lower than was anticipated in the fall of 2022. John Harris of Paradigm Fresh says there was hope going into the end of the month that the market would rise. However, given what is still available out of markets such as Canada, which will probably ship into June, that may not happen. In a growing region of Southern California, onions are late and they usually start the third week of April, but this year growing will probably not start until the first week of May as it's been cool and wet, so that's not a surprise, according to Harris. Kumquats in Southern California is about mid-season. Production usually begins January and runs through June. The harvest also takes place in a California desert region from September to December. Kumquats now come in from Chile as well. In general this year, Matt Pfeffer of Fresh Fruit Sales says that his volume is up about 10% over last year due to its proprietary growing practices. Meanwhile, demand for kumquats is good, enough to warrant year-round demand, which in part can be attributed to the nutritional benefits of the fruit. However, the industry is seeing a growing problem. They compete with uncertified growers and shippers, and it is an increasing problem for certified kumquat growers. The uncertified growers can charge less for their fruit and still make a profit, he says. Because of their customers' requirements, they have all those certifications. He says it's a difficult environment to deal with because it's not important for every buying organization to buy and offer sanitized and certified fruit. They find that challenging every year until that uncertified fruit supply runs out. That in turn has factored into lower pricing in a category. Pfeffer notes his pricing is like last year's, even with growing expenses up between 8 to 15% year over year due to inflation. The California Strawberry Commission has given a statement regarding a flooding occurring in the Pajaro community and along the Salinas River. California Strawberry Commission President Rick Tomlinson shared how damaging these winter storms have been to local farmers by saying that the flooding events along the Pajaro and Salinas Rivers have been devastating for those communities. He says preliminary assessments estimate hundreds of millions of losses and thousands of people displaced in the town of Pajaro. Tomlinson said that numerous strawberry farms will be facing a massive cleanup. Farmers had borrowed money to prepare prepare the fields and were a few weeks away from beginning to harvest. The commission said there are 400 family strawberry operations that create 70,000 jobs throughout the state, plus these operations invest 97 cents of every dollar back into their communities. Tomlinson said that California strawberries from Oxnard and Santa Maria will be increasing shipments to stores and will reach three-year average levels by April. Times are tough, he says, but the town of Pajaro, the surrounding communities, and the strawberry farming families are more resilient than ever, and they will work together to recover.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
Things are busy for the walnut industry right now and for the California Walnut Board and Commission, especially. The continuation hearing for the board is coming up soon. This process is standard for any marketing board that handles agricultural commodities to ensure the programs are doing their jobs for industry. In general, Walnut Board and Commission President and CEO Robert Verloop is confident in the vote of growers to continue these programs despite recent hardships.
This is a six-year process for us, or a repeat every 6 years. And we will have an opportunity to, and growers and handlers and industry members will have an opportunity to voice their opinion about the commission's role and whether or not it achieved what it needs to. And frankly, it's kind of tough to have this discussion in a year like what we're having. Mother Nature has dealt us a pretty tough hand with the heat wave that we experienced in September. And that's on top of some COVID-related marketplaces. So over the last 3 years, our industry certainly has been under some really difficult times. But when you take a look at the long term, the commission structure is such that we focus heavily on international development. We use MAP matching funds from USDA to achieve, some really strong market presence in key markets. And as a result, 65% of the production in California has been exported. So when you start looking at the areas of contribution, the other one that's obvious that I should have mentioned also is health research. We've done, for the last 30 years, the commission has executed some phenomenal health research and then communicating that to the consumers to the point that consumers, 97% of them see walnuts as a healthy item. So these become foundational programs that we build on in the future. And the continuance process is one that we welcome. We think it's an opportunity for, both those that are pro and con against the work that's been done. But I think by and large, if you take a look at where the industry has grown the last 5 years or 6 years in size and in production, clearly the industry, the growers, have supported the walnut expansion. We've just gone through some really difficult times that unfortunately were dealt, from outside sources, but we're responding to that. And hopefully we'll be able to demonstrate the ongoing need and the value that the commission brings. So yeah, the hearing is will be held at the California Farm Bureau office on March 29th at 10 o'clock and encourage people to participate that way. But they can also go to the CDFA market division or marketing branch rather and submit written comments as well. So there are a lot of different ways that the industry can have their voices heard, and I highly encourage them.
Coming up soon after is the federal marketing order referendum for the board, a process started 2 years ago that looks to update current rules surrounding inspection and certification requirements for walnuts.
Some of the additional items that are part of the referendum and the amendments, in a sense, really are the result of not having mandated outgoing inspections and certification. And there were a lot of reasons for that. Unfortunately, As the rules are written, board members and myself as staff are not allowed to advocate one way or the other for the specifics of the referendum. So I can report that starting early April, all growers will receive a packet. It's basically a ballot, and then it has supporting information on the ins and outs of the proposed changes. That all that information is currently available on our website. We've done some upgrading on our website at walnuts.org. And if you go to the walnut industry section, you'll see there's information for growers. And whether it's what we just talked about on the continuation hearing or the referendum, we have tiles that you can click on, and then you can follow that to get really in-depth information. But essentially, we're trying to modernize and bring the marketing order inspection and certification process really up to the standards of what most consumer, or sorry, what most customers are looking for internationally. And then one of the things that it is empowered in the referendum is the ability for us to establish new standards and new grades. And our Grades and Standards Committee has been working on that in anticipation of this referendum passing. It also puts an emphasis on incoming walnuts into the handlers' facilities. And so we're establishing new standards for that at the same time. So really bringing the industry more in line with what I would say is common practices. But the merits of the program have to stand by itself.
Also around the corner are the board elections as well as the commission elections, Verloop said. Nomination packets for these went out about 3 weeks ago to the industry.
I highly encourage people to take a look at this as a way to better serve the industry. The nomination process requires, you know, interested candidates to get 10 signatures, submit that, and then through the be added onto the ballot itself. The board process starts in February and should conclude by June. The winners then need to be approved by USDA, which is somewhat a formality, but it's still something that needs to be done. The commission ballot or nomination ballots and nomination packets will go out in April, and then we'll complete that in July. Both of these processes are under the oversight of the USDA for the marketing order, CDFA for the commission, and making sure that everybody's qualified and that, and, you know, the right percentages are in the right places. But it is a simple process, yet it's one that we take very seriously. And again, the entire procedure is for both. The procedures are available at walnuts.org, and people can see what the requirements are and what the steps are to being nominated, and then the election itself.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, delivering value to growers and handlers with advocacy, research programs, and walnut promotions. Doing more together.
The USDA's Foreign Agricultural Service is accepting applications from eligible organizations for fiscal year 2024 funding for five export market development programs. FAS recently published the FY 2024 notices of funding opportunity for the Market Access Program, Foreign Market Development Program, Technical Assistance for Specialty Crops Program, the Quality Samples Program, and the Emerging Markets Program. Get details at fas.usda.gov. America's top food and ag organizations representing thousands of farmers, ranchers, producers, and workers sent a letter to Congress urging action to improve ag exports. More than 50 of the most influential food and ag groups urge Congress to pass trade promotion authority. TPA is regularly passed by Congress to give the administration objectives and guidance in pursuing tariff-cutting trade agreements. The letter notes that when it comes to trade agreements with tariff reduction, regrettably, America is falling badly behind, according to the letter. Between 2010 and 2020, China and the EU enjoyed over twice as much advantage from trade agreement tariff reductions as the U.S. They also say the situation has gotten much worse this decade. The United States has not implemented a comprehensive trade agreement that opens new markets in more than a decade, according to the letter. The Fertilizer Institute President and CEO Corey Rosenbusch is pleased with the introduction of the Plant Biostimulant Act. The act, introduced in both the House and the Senate, will support the adoption of biostimulants by farmers and provide clarity to the emerging marketplace. Biostimulants have the potential to enhance the existing environmental stewardship of growers and complement their 4R practices. He says biostimulants support environmental stewardship by improving the efficiencies of fertilizer application and soil health while also increasing crop yields. He also says biostimulants are a relatively new innovation in agriculture and that there's great potential in these products. Project applications are now being accepted for the latest round of funding within USDA's Compost and Food Waste Reduction Program. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
Another opportunity to build up municipal compost and food waste reduction plans is now available.
The notification of funding opportunity for the Compost and Food Waste Reduction Program will accept applications on grants.gov until June 15th.
Brian Gussie of USDA's Office of Urban Agriculture and Innovative Production says up to $9.5 million in grants will be available for selected pilot projects awarded in this fiscal year.
The projects should span 2 years with a start date of December 1st. Or thereafter, and a completion date of December 1st, 2025.
He adds,
there is a pre-recorded webinar that will provide an overview of the cooperative agreement's purpose, project types, eligibility, and basic requirements for submitting an application. The webinar is posted on farmers.gov/urban.
This is the third year of the Compost and Food Waste Reduction Program and its support of pilot projects as part of USDA efforts to expand urban agriculture. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Charles Barron, co-founder of Farmer Business Network, a co-op of over 55,000 farmers across the country, says that most of the concerns that farmers have expressed to him are concerns on inflation and interest rates.
What's it going to mean for my input costs? What's it going to mean for my farm?
With planting right around the corner, Barron advises farmers to be sure that they are looking at both planning and scheduling ahead of time.
Well, I think right now it's to really make sure you've got supply locked up for the planting. I mean, planting is coming up. It's our busiest time of the whole year because it's sort of like Amazon at Christmas. Amazon has to make, you know, millions of deliveries right on time for December 25. In our world, that all happens for planting. So everybody wants stuff at the last minute, and everyone wants it at the same time. So we always advise producers to, get it taken care of as early as possible, and then schedule those deliveries. And
Charles Barron with Farmers Business Network.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.